always tells us that all these narratives about him saying he wanted the ball were built in by the media.
He wrote a book, Give Me the Damn Ball. We named plays for you. We had 72 Trojans for you. We named plays after you to get you the ball. I mean, we couldn't throw you the ball. That was up to Brad.
The biggest names in sports every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour number three, Gus Kattengill, Matty Hudak, Jordan Kleber. On the on-deck circle in his Dodgers uniform. Tie graph. What was that all about? Why'd you do that for him? What'd you
Dodgers
do that for?
L.A.
Yeah, what about it? It is what it is. We'll bring him in using the Italian music. Does he know he is Italian? Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. Ty Graffanini, couple of N's, couple of I's. We like to call him the Graff. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man. I'll just ask you this because, you know, I don't know, you're the voice of your New Orleans Pelicans. Four games in, four wins. I've called for Trey Murphy to start. That's how excited I am. One game left. They play Minnesota. Then they will play these T-Wolves in a couple of weeks in preseason game number one on October 4th. But, man, just your overall take, dude. What you've seen in four games from TM3, Herb Jones, Willie Green, Kyra, Najee, Lewis, everybody. What do you think?
Number one, I wish we could see more games. I'm kind of bummed out that tonight's the last one, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
No, man, just look. What have I been telling you, Gus, you know, the last however many months, years, whatever? Game of basketball is pretty simple. Again, there's talent on every team, especially in the NBA. To me, it's about playing hard. And these guys just play hard. That's the bottom line. I mean, they're getting after it each and every night. I'm such a big fan of Willie Green coaching this summer team because they're getting an idea of what's to be expected of them, these young guys, and I think it's vice versa. And also, especially the other night, you know, that Golden State game, you know, you had game-winning situations. You know, you had Willie Green, you know, trying to devise a play that was going to tie the game up to send it to overtime. So this is experience for him as a very young head coach. So I have no negatives whatsoever other than the fact that tonight is it. I just want to keep watching these guys play. But, you know, honestly, Gus, I'm really pumped up that they're going to be back in the facility, I would say, in the next few weeks. And, you know, getting out on the practice in the practice gym, out on airline. And then that's where the real, you know, chemistry starts. When the older guys, guys come in and they can you know, just kind of figure out, you know, how they're going to, how all this is going to work. Because, I mean, with the Josh Hart signing yesterday, Gus, I think the roster is pretty much
15 contracts, right. So, yeah, look, you've been in your office. You have access. We were there for the Willie Green presser. Just, you know, I'm just suggesting, how do you go about it? Do you say, hey, Griff, hey, DG, how would you like to approach the vice president of basketball operations and suggest that a one Gus Kattengill would like to see Trey Murphy get as many minutes as possible, maybe even start? How do we do that?
That would not happen.
Okay.
Not under my watch.
Okay.
Look, Gus, I think, again, you know the game of basketball pretty well, at least.
Yeah.
Think that you know it pretty well and proclaimed it. To me, it ain't about who starts, it's about who finishes.
There you go. That's exactly right. Well,
if you're on the court the last 5 minutes, that's more important than who's starting the basketball game. And I think we saw the other night that Trey Murphy has definitely put himself into the discussion at minimum of finishing games just by the fact of what we saw defensively in the last couple of minutes of that game against Golden State when he locked down their best player. Not once, but twice. Much to the dismay of the ESPN broadcasting crew who had you know, being that young man, the next Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes. He was. He was. Yes, yes
I tweeted
was.
That. No, I would have been dead if I took shots every time they said his name.
When Murphy, you know, blocked the shot, you could almost hear the disgust that they actually had to, that they actually had to admit.
The disappointment.
That their star-to-be was blocked by Trey Murphy, who was, you know, an afterthought.
I do got some good news for you, Graf.
Yes, Todd. You will be able to spend Christmas.
That's right, baby.
With your family this
Christmas
year.
Christmas with Graffa Claus.
But the bad thing for you Pelicans fans, there will be no Pelicans game.
That's fine.
On Christmas
That's
Day.
Fine. The Graf can dress up. No, I do have a photo. Todd has done this at Tracy's. He's dressed up as Graffa Claus.
And I've seen the photos.
You can go sit on his lap, tell him what you want for Christmas. It's an incredible thing. We need to bring that back. But Todd, yes. You can tell your wife and chillin', you will be home for Christmas the entire day.
As someone 2 years ago who spent Christmas Day in Denver, Colorado, I think that is a most welcome sight here at the homestead. So, yes, small victory.
Okay, we say that's good. There you go. All right, Todd, you are actually doing some other duties, though, here as well, as you are making sure that Saints fans know what's going on. Practice 15 in the books. Let's just start again with some. We've had so many bad news, right? Players going out. We'll get to the kicker and all that here. But, look, Kwon Alexander came back today, which is remarkable, and I don't mean come back in terms of you saw him. He participated in team drills and team contact drills and had a PBU.
Yeah, first time we saw that during camp. We've seen him conditioning. We've seen him doing walkthrough. But, no, he was out there today during team. It was great to see. I had to kind of do a double take. But, yeah, it was actually Kwon out there next to DeMario. And, you know, with what we saw the other night with Vaughn and Ellis, I think that the position now that we might have gone into camp at least, you know, about a month and a half ago, that you're thinking, all right, what are we going to do linebacker-wise here? It might be turning into a position of strength. If you got Zach Bond coming off the bench and Cade Nellis, who was flying around all over the place the other day too, I mean, Chase Hansen absolutely waylaid McSorley the other night on a third down play. But, I mean, you got Davis and Alexander right there. And they're easing him in. Again, he wasn't in there the entire time, but the fact that he was in there, I'm talking about Alexander, just a little bit, and it shows you that he's progressing in a most positive direction. So, very curious to see how they're going to play this thing as the regular season starts. But I'm really curious to see, and I doubt highly, but you never know, if he's actually going to get in there in the next couple of weeks against Jacksonville and then the final game on Saturday the 28th. So, but they're taking it very cautiously, as they should. But, man, it was good to see him out there today.
Well, what surprised me kind of about Bonds on Saturday specifically was his run defense. I'm not entirely sure that we were kind of expecting him to be so staunch defending the run. In the short time that Kwon Alexander was on the team, it almost kind of seemed like he was more effective in coverage and kind of allowed DeMario Davis to kind of be more of a pass rush type linebacker and help stuff the run. But with Bond's, you know, run abilities, I mean, is there a situation where we could see some type of three linebacker rotation? I know DeMario Davis is able to play almost every game, but, you know, if we were coming up against a team with a heavy run type thing, or, you know, is there a possibility that Bond could kind of come role for Davis in a rotational setting?
Interesting question. You mentioned the three linebackers, though, Maddie. I mean, that'd be more of a base defense type of deal and not a nickel. I mean, you're playing nickel, you're going to have the two linebackers. So, you know, DeMario Davis is going to be out there most of the time. But, you know, if you put Kwon in there and he has to, take a little breather, not a bad guy to have coming behind him in Zach Bond. So, especially if Bond continues to progress. And remember, and Bond said this about a week ago after practice, he's never played the Will before. This is the first time that he is playing this position, so he's pretty much learning on the fly. The first test obviously was passed with flying colors the other night, because I, you know, kind of half tongue-in-cheek joke on Twitter, you know, he's wearing number 53, which is what Vaughn Johnson's number was. The Dole Patrol, he was playing like Vaughn Johnson the other night because he was absolutely everywhere talking about Zach Vaughn. And I know he impressed the head coach because he talked extensively about him after practice on Sunday night.
Todd, look, it is what it is. We got to talk about the kicker. So Bill Mahar, Mayer, gone. He suffered an injury, made the PATs, no field goals. Bottom line, Sean Payton, as you just mentioned, go for two. Kind of joked, maybe we'll just do that. I'm sure they'll have somebody at the ready because they kind of just had to work out kickers, right, because they signed Bill. So I'm assuming they have somebody on their way.
Look, they had guys in for tryouts. We actually had to move from inside to outside for play and media availability because they had players in for tryouts. And I'm not trying to body shame anybody out there, but the guys I were looking at, unless we're going to see the first 300 or 250-pound kickers in the history of the NFL, maybe Sebastian Janikowski, they didn't they didn't look like kickers to me. I'm just saying. So. If there's a kicker,
maybe long snappers. Maybe long snappers.
Unless there's a kicker on the way tonight, I don't think he was in there for the tryouts today. So, you know, we'll see. But other than that, go for two.
You know what? Let's get back to good news. Matty, Tre'Quan Smith, 2 weeks since we last saw him at practice. Todd, we hadn't seen a lot of him here. I think I would say Callaway seems comfortable for me right now. Maybe I'm the first read. I'm going there. How important is it for Tre'Quan to not only get back and healthy, but as Sean mentioned today, you like to see him in game action in the preseason?
Yeah, well, he was limited today, okay? It was good to see him out there. Let's just say that. Obviously, again, it's been 2 weeks since we've seen him at all, other than that time on the outside field where he was kind of walking, just kind of looking at a walkthrough and jogging on the far side. But he did the warm-ups. He did the early throws with the four quarterbacks. But then when the one-on-one drills, which, by the way, was a drill that he originally got hurt on, was mm-hmm. a one-on-one drill against Marshawn Lattimore, they held him out the rest of the way. He did not participate in any team drills or the one-on-one with the DBs. He was on the side during a special teams period, catching passes from all four quarterbacks. He was kind of working on their footwork and throwing passes, and Tre'Quan was catching all those passes. But, you know, other than the very early portion of practice, that was it. I will say this. The best part of practice for me today watching mm-hmm. was Marquez Callaway going up against Marshawn Lattimore, and it happened often today. And let me tell you, Marquez Callaway won the day. Lattimore is having a brilliant, brilliant camp. But Callaway continued to get open by maybe a step, a half a step, and he was catching the football. He had one drop today, which was on those one-on-one drills we were talking about earlier, 30-yard fade to the end zone. It would have been an unbelievable catch. He wasn't able to corral it. Tight coverage from Lattimore. Callaway was not able to come through with it. But during team drills, those two guys went up against each other basically every time. It was almost as if the coaches said, you know what, Lattimore, get on this guy. And, it was just a lot of fun to watch him go at it. It really was. And on that last play, that last touchdown in that two-minute drill from Jameis Winston, you know, there was 3 seconds left on the clock, no timeouts at the 3-yard line, and Winston was just trying to buy time back there. And he found Callaway through all the chaos, if you will, in the back corner of the end zone. And of course, Lattimore wasn't very happy about it, saying, 10 seconds or 8 seconds, it should have been a sack. But, Callaway got open, and he caught that touchdown at the end. So that, to me, was the best part of practice. And I don't think any other media type was there watching with me, and there were a couple that agreed with me. Callaway definitely got the better of the two.
And just to quickly go to that cornerback position, it's kind of been good to see these battles throughout camp, but, we've kind of been looking at that CB2 spot. Was that more Ken Crawley today, or are we starting to see more Paulson Adebo in first team reps?
No, it was definitely Crawley, still on the other side of Lattimore. Adebo came in after. It was interesting, though, guys. You know, Malcolm Jenkins talked after practice. He talked about the young DBs. Maybe Jordan can pull up those sound bites for tomorrow. I thought Malcolm Jenkins was outstanding today in his comments. Talked about how the young DBs are constantly improving. They're just getting a little more familiarity with the defense. But what he really said, what I thought was really interesting, was about the depth at the safety position. He said in all of his years in the NFL, and this is his 13th, this is a two-time world champion with the Saints and the Eagles, he said he's never seen this much depth at safety. And, of course, it didn't hurt today that P.J. Williams and Marcus Williams came back to practice after, you know, basically, you know, being off for about a week. And both of those guys participated fully. So I just thought that was a very interesting statement to hear Malcolm Jenkins talk about the depth of the safety. So, look, here's the bottom line, and I know you guys are talking about the quarterback constantly. Sometimes and you got to give credit to the other side. The defense is just playing really, really well right now. And, you know, it just appears that they have things going in a positive direction on the defensive side of the football.
You hear the music, Todd. I got to give it to you. One quick thing. The opening night schedule is out. TNT, Tuesday, October 19th. Nets at the Bucks at 6:30, 9 o'clock. Golden State, LeBron, Westbrook, AD. No Pelicans on the opening night. No Pelicans opening week as well so far. So in the first four nationally televised games, in those games, do not see the Pels. So it's going to be less than the 25. And, you know, that's what it is right now. But we do know, Todd, and the reason I'm bringing it up, it is Tuesday, October 19th, opening night. So those are the four games. My guess would then be Wednesday the 20th would probably be the Pels season opener would be my guess, Todd. And the preseason finale is Monday the 11th. So Monday the 11th, that week, that weekend, the next Wednesday would probably be the Pels opener.
Well, Gus, we will find out again. I have been told by little birdies around the facility that the schedule is coming out on Friday. So we will know soon.
There it is. Complete schedule breakdown. All right. All right. All right. Let's do it. Todd, thank you, man, for your time. And we'll talk again maybe Friday to talk schedule.
Thank you, lady and gentlemen.
There it is. Don't let me down. All right. So Friday, Pels, potential. Did we say potential schedule release per source? Todd's a good source, huh?
Good enough.
I mean, he is the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans. Kind of needs to know that. Are you upset they're not in the opening week?
Who cares? I mean,
I'm not. You know what? You got to earn it. You got to earn it. They were on 25 times last year. They blew it in front of that. I got tired of them blowing it on national TV.
Well, I think national television got tired of Zion not playing in those games as well, because there was a lot of those.
That is very true. Let's see if he's healthy to start the season to get in there. All right. When we come back, Maddie, let's get back at it. Defense, you kind of touched on it. Zach Bond. Let's get your take on that when we come back next on ESPN New Orleans. All the light that comes in between the moments,
even if they're broken. And now it's crawling. This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville. The Saints are back at practice today. Quarterback Jameis Winston likely will start the upcoming game against Jacksonville. Against Baltimore, Winston led a touchdown drive. His take on the scoring play.
Great play call by Pete. We ran it a little farther out than I was expecting, but just great timing. LJ got open on the back end. I think they had a pressure on us. They went man-to-man coverage. We got us a good one.
As for his mindset right now as he competes for the starting job.
One of the things I try to take pride in is just staying present. I think it's so important to have great awareness of your teammates, have great awareness of the situation and the feeling of what's going on. The job requires, as a quarterback, to be able to snap and clear and move on to the next play. I think Coach Sean Payton does an excellent job of preaching that. We have to be able to forget the past and move forward. Like, when we're executing, I'm all in, man. You know, I cherish every opportunity that I get.
As for Taysom Hill, he didn't get the ball into the end zone, but he did like the game's opening drive.
I think we were moving the ball. I know we had some costly mistakes that we, you know, overcame on a few drives. And the first drive, I thought, you know, guys were where they needed to be, and I was seeing the field, and it was good.
Jacksonville comes to town Monday in the Dome. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Napa Know-How.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, Marine, and Industrial Supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' five locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa Know-How.
The Toyota National Sales Event is going on now at Greg LeBlanc. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma.
Through the end of the month.
And they're ready. The deals are red hot.
Red hot.
With loads of fresh new Toyotas arriving daily. Plus, they have over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Greg LeBlanc Toyota is getting top dollar for trades. Remember, the Toyota National Sales Event is going on now till the end of the month.
Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Or at the store. Greg's got the deals.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Matty Hudak, Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber with you. Matty, I'm all excited because Kwon Alexander came back. Now, as Todd stipulated, he was...
Stipulated, wow.
You know, he came in and made a pass breakup. It was nice to see him back at practice. I have now celebrated and said, okay, you see the opening day starter. You're saying, let's see what happens. Because of what you saw from Zach Bond in the preseason opener, what stood out to you? Obviously, look, he had a fantastic performance, Bond. Five tackles, three solo, a tackle for loss, pass defense as well.
I think you brought it up earlier, his short area quickness. I wasn't expecting him to be as quick off the ball as he was. And again, just really stuffing the run. That's something that, you know, the defensive tackle position being what it is has been kind of a point of concern. And something that I was wondering if that was something the linebacker group might be able to compensate for, but I didn't think it was feasible past Mario Davis. So seeing that come out from Bond gave me some confidence in at least, you know, that Saints run defense remaining what it has been for several years now.
Caden Ellis, eight tackles, six solo, a tackle for loss, a pass defense as well. What did you see of him?
I'm trying to remember because it was just linebacker, almost, you know, ad nauseum.
The fourth down stop was probably his play, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that was like the linebackers decided to just have a day, although it was like, you know, the sack party on Matt Ryan's face, except the linebacker group just having, you know, a day, making these mobile, all three, you know, the mobile Ravens quarterback mm-hmm. prototype, apparently running for their lives a lot of the time.
Sean was high on Caden Ellis when he first got here and suffered an injury. He was a guy that was going to really be involved in special teams, really liked him. Great story, just everything, kind of a football family, football kid and all that. And look, he got back into it. So let's start with him saying, like, how nice it was just to get back on the field.
You know, had some of the nerves come back, you know, getting back out there and getting to play full force like that again. Man, it's so fun. I'm just thankful to God for the opportunity to get back out there. It's so cool. It's so special. Such a blessing and honor to be out here in that field with that talent and that level of play and just to get to go out and do it again, you know. It's awesome, and I'm so happy.
As that fourth down play, though, showed, look, he made a play. I get around the edge, bring that runner back. He had no momentum going to line of scrimmage, brought him down behind the line of scrimmage.
You know, we don't do too much film study for a preseason game, but in our, like, day and a half of studying, they did that kind of wedge formation, you know, tight with the tight ends, got up close. They just ran, like, a wedge play, basically, like, we're going to overpower you and get a couple yards.
But on it, they didn't block the edge players. So they gave me an edge rush. I saw them come out in that formation, and I knew that's the only play we saw them run in the first two preseason games in 18 and 19. So I knew I was going to be able to come off the edge hot. The D-line interior did a great job of stonewalling it, said he couldn't get that initial push. And then when he was looking for somewhere else to go, I was able to grab him and pull him back. So it was a fun play.
Maddie, kind of like Jameis Winston being able to diagnose and describe.
I mean, hello,
what he's
football
seeing.
IQ.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Good
at.
Lord,
that's exactly what I was getting at.
That was, more information I've received, on a singular play that is very illuminating of what this linebacker ability is. If they're seeing all that in just a fourth down stop.
Look, he and Bond made plays. And that's all you can want. And I understand, and you know, whether it's the Pels in summer league, whether it's, hey, you know, it's the opposing team's first, second unit. All you can go on is at the snap, what you're doing and who you're doing it against. I mean, are you beating the person in front of you? Is that person good or not? We'll figure it out later. But did you beat them? Did you make a play? Did you make the catch? Did you make the throw? Did you make the read? Here's what he had to say on Bond.
Flying around. Like, y'all saw him. Like, that's so cool, man. He's out there doing his thing. It's so fun getting to play with him. His passion is and fire and energy is next level, too. And he tried telling me he got tired. I was like, when? Because you were flying that whole game. He's out there doing his thing, hitting quarterbacks, batting down balls, making tackles. Man, that's cool watching him play. And it's cool getting to play next to him.
Here's Bond on his confidence level right now on the field. And, Maddie, I think the way you describe them, that's somebody that knows where he's going, knows what he's doing. And you hear this from players all the time. When they reference when the game slows down, that means they're not thinking. They're just reacting. They kind of already read and recognize and know what to do.
Oh, I feel way more confident this year. Even playing a whole new position, just having a grasp on the defense definitely helps a lot, and everything's not new. I know the other players. I know the coaches. I know the scheme, and it's just becoming a lot more natural.
Here's him a little bit more playing at the will.
Yeah, the will linebacker position is something completely new to me, and I had a lot of fun with it tonight. And part of this training camp, I just wanted to show the coaches that they could trust me putting me at will, or trust me putting me at Sam. So fly around and make plays and correct the film tomorrow.
Is that even more impressive to you, that that's a position that he's not completely been playing and comfortable in?
Well, I was just going to say, I want to just give some due credit to Mike Hodges, the linebacker coach, who's clearly, you know, been able to actually see visions for these guys. I know a lot of the, comments about Bond was there a vision for him, and is that going to come to fruition? Not only does there seem to be a vision, there seems to be, a legitimate player in that role, and not just one that comes in and blitzes off the edge in packages and does some special teams work, but an actual, legitimate game starter at that position. So as much credit as I have to give to Zach Bond, I also have to kind of, again, give props to the Saints coaching staff. That's, their pedigree is showing off on the O-line and the secondary and now in the linebacking corp.
So you heard Caden on Bond. Now it's time for
Bond on Guan.
No, close, but Caden.
Ah.
Yeah.
Caden's a monster. He plays Sam and he plays Mike. Two difficult positions to know and learn, and he's done a great job. And he's just athletic and really smart.
Maddie, as long as Sean Payton has been here, he will tell you when it comes to linemen, the more that you can play one position, the better. You're sticking around. Never really heard that too much on the linebacking front, but here you hear two linebackers saying they're playing two positions.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think there's been many players there to move around to various spots. There's been DeMario Davis, and then who is the best player next to DeMario Davis that we can field out there? So they haven't really had, even the ability to move around and actually formulate positions groups within the position.
Here's Kate on the linebacker room overall.
Well, it's been a really fun room. Super high energy. Coach Hodges brings it every day. And then getting to have guys like, we've had DeMario all camp, and then they brought Quan back. Thank the Lord, because as he always says, be legendary, and his energy is also through the roof. And just getting to be with them and learn from them is amazing. And like you said, we got a lot of young guys trying to establish ourselves on this team and in this league. And I think, as you guys saw today, just a lot of linebackers running around making plays. And it didn't matter who was in, someone was getting that tackle, forcing that ball out, getting things done. So it's a really fun and passionate group. It's really cool.
I mean, I get it. I do. got the Packers, got McCaffrey and the Panthers coming. Let's see what the Patriots offense will look like this year. Saquon and the Giants, Washington, it's going to be well coached. So look, they're going to be tested early, this defense, mm-hmm. but you hear Malcolm Jenkins feeling confidence in the safety group. You hear the linebackers feeling confident. Sean Payton feels confident that he has depth there that he hadn't had before. And as we bring in our discussion after this break, the defensive line, I don't want him to fail. I like seeing Marcus Davenport actually put things in a box score.
If the dividends have to come this late, you know, I'd rather they come than not at all.
Right. I mean, at least I can read Davenport, look right and see something other than zeros.
And another person that's been strong in camp, and so it was good to see that continuation.
Agree. Translating practice into the game. Matty Hudak, Gus Cattingill, Jordan Kleber. Don't go anywhere. 30 more minutes until the top of the hour. Then Matt Moscona, and after further review, will take over on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Welcome to a place where everyone deserves to be better protected, where technology has your back, where you can have better protection and keep more money in your pocket, where you can have protection for your car, your home, your phone, and even your digital identity. Welcome to a place where your entire life can be better protected. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Allstate and affiliates offer products and services subject to availability, terms, and conditions.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Traquan Smith back at practice. Limited, but back out there. Sean Payton.
He's doing well. He's good. I mean, he wouldn't be out here if we didn't think he was progressing. So we're always mindful the first day back. You know, we list the players limited, and but he's doing good. He's doing really good.
As for the possibility of seeing him Monday night against the Jaguars in preseason game number two?
No. I would want to get him into a preseason game, and hopefully this week we're able to do that.
So that's good to see that there as well. He's back in there. Quan Alexander, PBU, full contact team drills, Matty. Sean Payton afterwards.
Good. I mean, to be out here and getting work relative to the date of his injury, you know, I said it when we signed him, you know, obviously he's ahead of schedule. We just have to be smart and patient.
So, again, all good things. We were just touching on Bond and Ellis. And Pete Werner had a nice start to camp, I would say. I mean, but, you know, we have to see him in some games and stuff. But would just lead you to believe that he has some depth there. Corner, let's touch a little bit of that. I was impressed by Adebo. Adebo, four tackles, four solo. But there was that one tackle on third and whatever. He made the stop about a yard at the marker. The recipient went down. That, I like that. That shows the physicality. You can definitely see that, which was crazy, as Todd even touched on it when we were talking to him. That was his first game, Maddie, in over a year.
Yeah. And I'd seen a little bit of that from him in training camp, where he had kind of lined up a little closer to the line of scrimmage. It almost looked like kind of going towards the run, and that was kind of surprising to me from, you know, a secondary member. But then you saw that wrap-up tackle, and he's a physical guy, and that's, you know, where you see it come into play with the pass deflections and the interceptions, but he's also showing that he can also wrap up a guy. And like you said, the very important part of that being it was before the first down marker, because that's always been a thing, is it's always, you made the tackle right after the first down marker.
And Todd mentioned today at practice, Ken Crowley was with the ones, and then it was Debo right after that. I almost feel like when we were talking with the Pelicans with Daniel Salerson, and even Todd mentioned it as well, maybe not focus so much on the start of the, it's a long season. There's 17 games this year. And it's something that I guess I'm going to keep a tab on in terms of the depth at linebacker. You get a nick up here, there. Maybe if you don't have that much of a drop off, or if at all, not a bad thing. Whereas you lost Quan Alexander last year, you had a drop off. You know what I'm saying? If Crawley does start, which I think right now looks like that is going to go, it gives time for Debo to continue. He's going to get in some snaps. I think somehow they'll work him in there, and which is why I brought up last week, and even brought up with Larry yesterday, when Malcolm Jenkins first came to the New Orleans Saints. They didn't start at corner or safety or something like that nature. They eventually, he got some snaps. They would move him to eventually safety and stuff of that nature. I sort of see that with the Debo. I think you're going to see more snaps from him towards the end of the season than at the beginning, but I think you're going to see him in the first game against Green Bay.
I think it's highly dependent on Ken Crawley at that point, because, you know, if you're seeing that you won't see him towards the end of the season, that either means that they've traded for someone else,
right,
or that Ken Crawley has, you know, kind of, you know, put up what he's been putting up in training camp. But you also have to, there's a lot more overhanging suspension we still don't know about. And we know that they were looking into cornerbacks as, you know, recent as last week, but I think that a Debo performance did kind of give pause on that really being a weakness position. But I don't know. I don't know if we see them, you know, put a Debo in at safety and everything like that, because he seems to more have those, you know, lockdown abilities. And I'm just, you know, I think that Crawley is the veteran starter that has the experience,
right,
to contend in week one, but once they get down to, like, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, seeing how Crawley performs through those first, is it five games before that?
Yep.
Yeah. That'll really be an important check mark for me on, you know, if a Debo starts to see more playing time and stuff like that.
Yeah, it will be interesting to sort of see that. Here's what Sean Payton had to say on Paulson Adebo so far.
There's, you know, a handful of the players around the league that were just in conferences that didn't play, or whether they opted out. And that was a little bit of the outlier, or a little bit of the, not the gamble, but that made it the draft unique, because, you know, you were factoring all of that in relative to the selection of a player. But I thought he did a lot of good things the other night. He stood out in the kicking game as well, so I'm encouraged.
Would you say he's had a good camp?
Yeah, so far I would.
Yeah. Interesting, right? I mean, he didn't hesitate there. Yeah, so far I wouldn't. Again, that's what I'm saying. Look, at this point, it's sort of like, you know, we had General D call yesterday, and he's not alone. There's a lot of Pels players. Hey, let's go get Buddy Hield. They still want. I'm like, at this point, go with the young kids.
Yeah.
See what you got right now. If you haven't brought in a veteran starting surefire starter at corner,
right,
roll with it.
Yeah.
I mean, let them earn it, because we joked, I want to say last Tuesday, Maddie, it almost felt like Ken Crawley and these guys were taken to personally. Everyone in the media basically,
it's that Michael Jordan meme, and I took that personally.
Yeah, because I almost felt like that practice, right? Like, everyone's like, the day before, all that means they're going to sign this guy, and they're going to sign that guy. And then Ken Crawley went out, had like a pick. He had a PBU, Paulson Adebo.
He was chirping at Taysom Hill.
Right.
Keep trying me. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I think they're reading this stuff and going, wait a minute, you keep wanting to break. It's right here. One of us can do that. So I like that. That's where competition kind of spurs that.
I was going to bring this up actually with the linebacking group that I was kind of pleasantly surprised at the reaction to them bringing in Quan Alexander. It's like, you know, we are so excited to have his energy in this room and keep competing and getting better. I think these guys are really rising to that, you know, competition challenge. And someone, you know, bringing in someone like Quan where, you know, he has been injured and has been on the team before is a little less threatening. But I think that Crawley and Adebo kind of, exactly like you said, took that as a challenge, and they've been strong in camp. And just to go back to the coaches, Chris Richard has clearly.
Well, he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
he's as advertised.
You bring up a very good point about the coaching and the people that have been able to sort of step up there. Sean lost some staff members last year, and it's kind of not a story that a lot of people are talking about. But I think that's something to keep an eye on. He lost some key staff members that went on to be coordinators or coaches like Dan Campbell, and you mentioned, you know, in the secondary as well. So
Aaron Brooks.
Yeah.
Not Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Glenn. So it is something to keep in mind, for sure, because, again, I know it's camp, but that's all we can go on, you know, and
yeah,
it seems like they're making some plays. Here's interesting. Paulson Adebo spoke today. He was asked about the chance about winning, perhaps, that starting job.
Yeah, I think you just keep doing what you've been doing. Don't try to think too far ahead. Take it day by day. Every day come in with a good attitude, get a little bit better, and then let the chips fall where they may.
I think that's the right attitude to have. I mean.
Oh, I thought you said I don't think that's the right attitude to have.
No, I think absolutely. It's like, hey, let's see. But it sounds confident. I mean, like, see what the chips fall.
Yeah. You know,
in other words, he's going. I mean, he wants to play. Again, what's interesting to me is how quickly you can get back to not playing football. Back, you can go work out all you want. You can, you know, it's just, yeah, you have to play in games. You have to. And look, sometimes, Matty, some guys, it happens in a game. You know, and they naturally have that sort of instinct, which is why I'm loving what I see from Trey Murphy. He just looks like he belongs, you know. So, anyway, I'm excited about that. He also had this to say. They practiced in the Dome yesterday. First time being in the Dome.
Yeah, super excited. First time being in the Dome. Heard a lot of stories, so that'll be definitely a memory that I'll take with me forever.
Before we go, we got some time. We got one more segment after this break. But I know you want to touch on this as well. We're touching on the DBs and all that, and I think we kind of touched on that. Ian Book. I tease you when we have a little fun with that you know, you love Ian Book. He's Drew Brees. He's the savior and all that. In reality, though, there is something that's interesting to me. Chase Daniel? Maybe? Now, like, I get there hadn't been a need to develop quarterbacks under Sean Payton, but maybe Chase Daniel. And I say that because he's actually gotten another job with another team to be a backup.
I'd still argue that Brees is an example of development, just not rookie.
100%, I would agree with you. That's a good take. We can maybe touch on that a little bit more. But I just go back to, again, draft day. People from Notre Dame that I know very well text me, what in the bleep are the Saints doing? He's terrible. We cover him. OMG. Just not good. Then let me see what my eyes see. Okay. You brought it up the week before I got to see him, though. You're like, you know what? You think he's going to be further ahead? First off, Trevor Siemian should be light years, right?
Yeah.
I didn't feel that looking at it.
Well, Trevor Siemian's
going to keep. I understand.
I didn't feel that, right.
And he performed, you know, in the game, 9 of 16, 126. No touchdowns, had that interception. But what did you think of Ian Book when you saw him on the field going through plays?
I was going to say, listen, if he doesn't throw that pick, like, I think this is a very, you know, much more frontline conversation about him. I saw kind of this, like, you know, reminiscent of that 2009-2011 offense of they've been practicing it in camp, of those checkdowns and dump offs to running backs and screen passes, and the one that was doing it most effectively in that game was Ian Book. And I thought that he was very, you know, despite kind of having to scramble around there, you could still see him making his reads.
Again, you're playing with the third or fourth string.
Right. But you could still see him going through his progressions despite mm-hmm. being on the fly, making throws in stride, even though I think there was a picky, intentional grounding play. he at least had the foresight to try to get rid of it instead of, you know, taking a sack, whereas that's something that we were bringing up with Winston and Hill on their respective sacks. I just saw a lot of, you know, high-level thought going on from Ian Book that I think was, you know, slightly surprising for people to see that poise with a rookie that, like you said, everyone was kind of like, what are the Saints doing when they drafted him in the first place?
I think one of the other aspects that I thought what was interesting, too, is just how you learn from that, how you continue to go. Sean Payton, after practice today, spoke a little about him. We'll hear from him as well. We'll hit this final break. We'll come back. We'll hear. Then we'll put a wrap to this show that I think kind of flew by today, Matty. It's the Sports Hangover. You're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
Just as you put fuel in your car to drive from point A to point B, you need to put fuel in the form of food in your body to achieve peak performance. Good nutrition leads to increased recovery, high concentration, high confidence, and ultimately high performance.
The first tip to good sports nutrition is increasing the number of times you eat per day. An example of a well-balanced day would include breakfast, a mid-morning snack, lunch, pre-practice snack, recovery snack, dinner, and an optional nighttime snack. This is helpful because the athlete may experience an increase in stabilized metabolism, maintain level blood sugars, receive constant energy and nutrients to muscles, prevent late night overeating, and ensure adequate calories throughout the day.
Breakfast is your kickstart for the day to maintain focus, return blood sugars to normal, and be your best as early as possible. Some good breakfast foods may be a smoothie, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, apple slices with peanut butter, waffle with fresh fruit, egg and turkey sausage, or yogurt. Lunch sustains metabolism, stabilizes blood sugar, and assists in meeting caloric goals. Some good lunch options may be peanut butter sandwich, turkey club sandwich, grilled chicken salad, ham and cheese wrap, or grilled tuna with vegetables. Snacks fuel your body, provide energy before workout, keeps you focused all day, maintains stable blood sugar, and keeps you from overeating at any given meal. Some good snacks may be roasted nuts, cracker and pretzel mix, bananas, peanut butter, or yogurt with fresh fruit.
Snacks play an important role in recovery nutrition, which means the body needs to refuel energy stores with carbohydrates, repair and rebuild muscle tissue with proteins, and rehydrate with water and electrolytes.
Timing is everything when it comes to your recovery snack, so be sure to refuel your body within 30 to 60 minutes post-workout, practice, or game.
If you have questions about nutrition before activity, snacks play an important role in recovering nutrition, which means the body needs to refuel energy stores with carbohydrates, repair and rebuild muscle tissue with proteins, and rehydrate with water and electrolytes. Please call the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional at 985-493-4502 or visit us at Thibodaux.com. 985-493-4502 or visit us at Thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodaux.com. Call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodaux.com.
I rescued Toast from a shelter in 2011. I love Toast because she's a lazy diva. She's sleeping right now. She's so loving. She's so comforting. When I walked into the shelter, I knew right then that she was special.
Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
So yes, we have talked about Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Sean Payton on Ian Book.
I thought, look, there's some good things. You know, just a calmness in the huddle, his ability to lead, move the football. You know, there's a lot to coach off of in that tape. There's a couple plays where he's holding on to the ball a little too long. It's going to be a little faster than what he's used to. You know, just seeing him adjust to the speed of the game and then, you know, getting through some of his progressions. But ultimately, you know, leading the offense and, yeah, overall there was a lot of stuff for us to coach off of, and no different than out here at practice. So it's every day for him, but he's handling it well. He's got a little poise to him, which I like.
Yeah, I think he definitely saw that, Matty. I want to get your opinion on him after he tells us what he thought of his first game.
Yeah, that was a point of emphasis for me, for sure. You hear about first preseason games with a lot of players going in there all wide-eyed and just, you know, froze for the moment. I 100% did not want to do that. I wanted to go in there, show confidence, lead the guys. You know, I was in there with some offensive linemen who have played before, and I just wanted to go in there and show them that, you know, I'm here to play. I'm not scared to go out there, and I'm just excited to be out there. What an opportunity it was for me, and I made sure I talked to everybody. I wanted to really enunciate the plays like I talked about last week. Just show the guys confidence. I want these guys to believe in me when I'm in there.
I've heard that, Matty, that sometimes quarterbacks get so nervous, really low, and you can't hear the play call, and that makes it an issue.
Listen, again, this man has been fused to the hip of quarterback coach Ronald Curry throughout practice, throughout everyone else's reps, throughout his own reps. After the drill's done, he's mm-hmm. tracking down receivers. He's running the plays again. When they asked about what traits they consider unfixable, I believe it was Nick Underhill that asked the question in the pre-training camp presser, they very clearly said intangibles. And the first two things Sean said was poise, calm in the huddle, and that he was able to lead down the field. And
intangibles.
Yeah. And then the fact that there's a lot for them to coach off of was mm-hmm. very telling to me.
I like the fact that he actually said he did actually practice play calling.
It's definitely different. Yeah, you know, in college, we did hand signals. We had a wristband. And out here, it's all about communicating. You can't miss one word. It'll screw up the whole entire play. So it's about going out there. And, you know, we got the call sheet, and I just wanted to make sure I knew everything and really enunciated it. You know, you don't want to go in there and say it really fast and just get it all out. And then next thing you know, it's just a clutter, especially for the first preseason game. I wanted to be clear. I wanted everyone to know, you know, what we were doing. And after the first drive, we had some, you know, mistakes getting lined up. I wanted to really make sure that doesn't happen anymore. So it's definitely different. But that's something that's, you know, really high on what I pride myself on.
How do you practice that? Like in the mirror?
Yeah, say it in the mirror. Say it in the mirror. Say it on FaceTime. You can't, you know, I've learned you can't just say it to yourself in your head because that's not what it's like. You actually need to say the words. So I've learned that already. And I got a mirror. I just say it in the hotel room.
I think between Matty and Jordan, you guys would be available to be FaceTime partners with him to practice some play calling, Jordan?
I know Matty would.
I was just going to say, shout out to my favorite adage of read your paper out loud because you cannot understand things in your head.
I actually had a broadcasting class. Imagine that as a broadcast journalism major.
Must be nice.
Well, yeah. I promise you I didn't take statistics and walk.
Exactly. Must be nice.
My senior year, I took coaching football, baseball, tennis, and basketball.
Again, must be nice.
Dean's list. Dan Rather, actually, our instructor played this. Dan Rather said that that's how he became an anchor in practice and being, and it's two completely different styles. From radio to television to you name it to print, how you write, the style structure, all that, Matty, you know what I'm talking about,
and Jordan
as well. The hardest thing to actually read out loud is print. It's longer sentences. There's no inflection on it. And the reason broadcasters tend to practice reading print is because you will then learn how to use inflection like I just did. And things of that nature. And so you would read the paper and you would do those things. We had that practice. It's interesting to hear him say that from that perspective. And you just brought that up. It is. It's something that the more comfortable you get to do that, you know, you could speed up in certain areas. You want to, you know, slow down on this. It's double X, Y, Z. Make sure that they understand that the noise when you can. I mean, it makes sense from that standpoint for sure.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest. These aren't things that I have heard that often from, you know, Winston and Hill being something that they're working on day and night, practicing in the mirror. These were the things that when I was looking at the heir apparent to replace Drew Brees, I too was looking at those intangibles because mm-hmm. Brees was a great quarterback, but he was an even better leader. And when the role at quarterback is obviously going to, you know, denigrate a little bit, you need to have those intangibles in spades. And Ian Book, to me, is the clear winner of that race through now.
Look,